Lord Jesus, we do praise you, the living one, the eternal one, the everlasting Father, and yet the supreme Son of God, our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, and our brother. We're overwhelmed by who you are, Lord Jesus, and we bow before you as your children this morning in worship and in adoration. We do pray that you would build your church worldwide and in this place, on this corner in Southfield, not so that we will be well known, not so that our name would be great, but that your name would be honored, that you would be glorified to the ends of the earth, that the all nations and all tribes and here in Southfield, we would raise the honor to your name that you so deserve. So we bow our hearts before you this morning and ask that you would speak into our lives. We ask that you would continue to do your work among us, that you would faithfully, as you are always faithful, allow your word by your Spirit to penetrate deep into our hearts and our minds and work its way out through our lives as you continue to transform us into the image of Jesus our Savior. We bow before you, we offer ourselves to you, and we ask that you'd speak to us now through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's so good to be with you this morning, and as we gather together, let me just mention a couple family things for all of us. 2 weeks from today, in the evening, we begin our Vacation Bible School. It's been a few years since we've done Vacation Bible School, but we're going to be having Vacation Bible School beginning on June 26th, Sunday evening through the 29th. Many of you have offered to help during that time. I would just like to encourage you to do everything you can to encourage our families. Maybe you have children, you haven't signed them up yet, sign them up, or you've got grandchildren, or you've got neighbors who could use the parents could use an opportunity during the summer to have a break from their kids, but also for their kids to have fun and to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we want to encourage you to encourage families to sign their children up. You can sign up online, you can sign up in the foyer, you can sign up by emailing the church, but please let's fill this place with little children who can learn about Jesus. Those of you who were here last week also know that Aaron Johnson shared with all of us that he's going to be moving on at the end of July to a new ministry. And so I just want to let you know that we are already beginning a search for a worship director. We'll be using the same search firm that we used to look for a family pastor that found Lake Slaybach and his wife Ellie for us. That firm has extensive experience in worship ministry, and they already know our church very, very well. The elders are going to be guiding this process, and we'll be very careful to listen to all the different parts of our congregation. We're a multi-generational, multicultural family, and they will be careful to listen to all of us as we move forward. We'll have a lot more to share with you as we move along, but I just wanted you to know that we're already moving forward and we're trusting the Lord that he will provide our needs in this area. And I would just ask you to pray for us as we seek the Lord's provision for our worship going forward. If you have your Bibles, if you'd open them to Hebrews chapter 3. If you remember last week, Hebrews chapter 2 verses 11 to 18 are really hinge verses, core verses that transition us into the rest of the book. We studied in this last section last week that Jesus, as our singular Savior, he knows us, he knows everything about us, he saves us, and he helps us. That was stated three times over and over again in those verses. This morning we're going to be looking at chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. As you find that in your Bibles, page 1002, if you're using the Bible in the seat in front of you, and as we always say, if you need a Bible at home, please feel free to take that Bible with you. We'd love for you to have a copy of the Word of God and be able to use it. Well, it's springtime, and in springtime, we have lots of flowers. Aren't they beautiful? This is from a leftover from our graduation from Southfield Christian. It was a beautiful time Friday night as many seniors graduated from our school. Springtime brings lots of beauty, brings lots of work, weeding our gardens and trying to help the flowers grow and mowing the grass. This year, I got a new lawnmower to try to help me take care of my lawn because I live on a corner. It's a very big lawn, but my old lawnmower still worked really well. And those of you who like little engines, my old lawnmower was a Honda, and Hondas just don't stop working. You know, they just keep going. So I was thinking, well, I need to sell this Honda and try to recoup some of the money for the new one. And so I asked my son to put it on Facebook Marketplace. I don't do that kind of stuff, but said, can you put it out there? I told him how much it was worth. I said I'd like at least that much money out of it. And so he had it out there for several weeks. And he was getting offers. I would ask him, so has anyone offered anything? He says, oh yeah, you know, I put pictures of it out there and I told him how old it is and I told him, you know, that it runs and, but I'm getting offers, but I'm turning them all down. I said, well you know, I need something out of this. Don't turn everything down. He said, just be patient, we'll get it. Well, I knew what it was worth, but nobody is coming near that. Until a gentleman contacted my son about a couple weeks ago, and my son said, Dad, are you going to be home at 5 o'clock? This guy is coming, and he's ready to pay. I thought, wow. Okay, so I made sure I was home at 5 o'clock. The man shows up at the house, and he was so excited. I mean, I don't know how you get that excited over a used lawnmower. He was so excited. He was in his mid-30s. He had been working on a lawn, and he needed something better than what he had, and he said, this is exactly what I've been looking for. I have researched it. I've been on Consumer Reports. I've been everywhere. I've looked at the reviews. I've talked to people who owned it. I've gone to the stores to buy a new one, but with inflation, the prices are skyrocketing. This is exactly what I want. I've been dreaming about this. Can you just pull start it, make sure it starts? I pulled it. Hondas always start. So I pulled it. It started right up. He was beaming. He said, now I agreed with your son the asking price, but if I paid you that, I'd be cheating you. And he pulled out cash and paid me much more. And that's never happened to me before. I mean, what was the difference between him and all of the other offers? The others looked at the facts. Here's a lawnmower, this many years old, it runs, the blades were sharpened 2 years ago. That's all they knew. This guy had spent time researching. He had spent time looking at reviews. He had looked at Consumer Reports. He was pumped. And to him, the asking price would have been cheating us. He paid us much more. Far more important than finding the lawnmower you've been wanting is the difference between knowing all the facts about Jesus and being enamored with Jesus, being overwhelmed by the beauty of Jesus, knowing Jesus, personally falling in love with him. But how do we come to know him? How do we come to go beyond the facts to the person of Jesus? That's what we find in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. This is what it says. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who is faithful to him who appointed him. Now, if we were to reduce that sentence down to its essential elements, this is what we would read. Therefore, consider Jesus. Everything else is upholding that central thought. Therefore, consider Jesus. Now, anytime we see the word therefore, we have to ask what it's there for, right? So therefore is referring to the first two chapters that we've been studying together. These didactic teaching chapters telling us all this truth about Jesus, who he is, that he's seated on the throne, that he's the supreme Son of God, that he's our Savior, that he understands us, all of those truths. Therefore, because of what we have learned about Jesus, chapters 1 and 2, consider Jesus. And the word consider means look carefully. Take your time. Soak in who Jesus is. Let the beauty of Jesus soak in to you. Therefore, consider Jesus. So we move from examining to embracing Jesus when we reach chapter 3. Let me try to say that in a couple other ways, because that's the theme here in these first two verses. We're moving from facts examined to a faith that is embraced in a person of Jesus. We're moving from the person of Jesus studied or examined to the person of Jesus enjoyed. We're just soaking him up. Therefore, consider Jesus. We're stepping beyond intellectual assent, and we're moving towards being enraptured with the wonder of the person that we're falling in love with. I remember when I started seminary in 1980. I arrived in Denver, lots of new students. I was excited with the professors I was going to be able to study under. They had written books. They had written commentaries. I wanted to learn from them. And Dr. Haddon Robinson had just become the president of Denver Seminary at that time. Many of you know Haddon. He's preached here many times. He's now in heaven, so he's not preaching here anymore. But Haddon Robinson, during the last century, was noted by Time magazine as one of the 5 best communicators in the world. An amazing communicator. He stood up in front of all of us new students, and he said, "Those of you who are here who are excited about what you're going to learn, you are right. You're going to learn an immense amount. We are going to make you work really hard. You're going to learn Greek, and you're going to learn Hebrew, and you're going to learn hermeneutics, and you're going to learn homiletics, and you're going to learn exegesis, and you're going to learn all of these things. But that is not what faith is all about." In fact, he said, if you simply focus repeatedly on knowledge alone, you will find that your soul becomes bare. He said, it's your responsibility as students to nurture your souls by being in the presence of Jesus. And if you don't, he said, I can affirm to you, some of you will lose your faith while you're here, even though you gain knowledge. And I watched it happen to some of my colleagues in seminary. Therefore, consider Jesus. Soak in Jesus. Think about Jesus. Our relationship with Christ is far more than a fascination about information. So let's look at these two verses and pull these words apart and see how we soak in Jesus, how we embrace the person of Jesus. Who Jesus is has changed who you are. That's how this Holy Spirit begins in this first phrase. He says, "Therefore, holy brothers, you've been changed, you who share in a heavenly calling." So who we are is changed by who Jesus is. Starts with a simple word, therefore. What is the therefore? Therefore. Well, we've studied the first two chapters, right? So what the Holy Spirit is saying is because Jesus is, This is what we studied, the very Son of God, the exact imprint of his nature, the very radiance of his glory. Because of all that, because God has spoken supremely and finally through Jesus, because through Jesus, everything is created that God has made and Jesus upholds all things, because Jesus died for you, because Jesus made purification for your sins, because Jesus has satisfied the just wrath of God and provides righteousness for you, because Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father on his throne and commands angels and every other heavenly being, because Jesus understands everything that you experience and everything that you face in life, because Jesus has destroyed the power of death we saw last week and the fear of death, because Jesus can help us, having suffered and faced every temptation and trial that we will face, because he is who he is, because he has done what he has done, holy brothers. And last week we saw that that word means brothers and sisters. Holy brothers, because Jesus is who he is, you now are holy brothers and sisters, made holy, we saw last week, by Jesus, verse 11, the one who sanctifies us, and then the one who has died for us, verse 17, setting aside the wrath of God so that God can be just and be loving at the same time to us. Because Jesus has done that, we are holy brothers. Listen carefully to that word. Brothers, sisters, it's a plural. Jesus doesn't say, therefore, holy person, therefore, holy John, holy Joe, holy Jill, holy Sue. No, he says, holy brothers, sisters, plural. We can experience the wonder of who Jesus is individually. We have to, personally. Our faith is personal, but as soon as we come to Christ, we are brought into this family, and we cannot fully understand the wonder of who Jesus is all by ourselves. It's impossible. We cannot all alone stand alone in our faith and be the people God wants us to be. We'll never understand the wonder of what Jesus has done unless we're in a community of brothers and sisters and we look at one another and we see what Jesus has done for that person and what Jesus has done for this person and what Jesus has done for me. That's when our wonder and our amazement of who Jesus is explodes. Brothers, sisters, this is both personal and community-wide. That's why fellowship in the body of Christ, in the church, is so essential. We pause personally to consider him and all the wonder of who he is, but we must do it together as a new family of believers who share this wonder and this pilgrimage that we're on together. Because look at the next words. Therefore, holy brothers, sisters, you who share in a heavenly calling. We're not taking this pilgrimage by ourselves. Together, we have a heavenly calling. Together, we are pilgrims on the way to a new home, our new home. And truth is, sometimes as we're traveling home to be with Jesus, we find it hard to get along with each other, don't we? In fact, sometimes we find ourselves, I'm not going to go to the church where that person goes. Or I'm going to purposely avoid them at church. You know, I think that's one of the things that we're going to be so overwhelmed by and surprised by when we find ourselves in heaven, right next to brothers and sisters that we did everything we could do to avoid here on earth. Or there's a certain person that we just didn't like, and they're at that church, and so I'm not going to go to that church, and we're standing before Jesus, and he's got us holding hands together. We're on a pilgrimage together. We have a heavenly calling that we share together. Together we're being made into Jesus' image. Together we grow up together into the image of Christ, we're told in Ephesians chapter 4. Together our lives have been redeemed into a new life, and we express it together. We have a high and a heavenly calling, we're told. But we walk together, and as we do so, we wander together. As we do so, we're traveling home together to our singular Savior, who's loved every single one of us together. Because He is who He is, therefore, because He has done what He has done, because He has made us to be holy brothers and sisters who have been called to a high and heavenly calling, therefore, consider Jesus. Therefore, pause and worship Jesus. Soak in Jesus. Look carefully at Jesus. We move from truth taught in chapters 1 and 2 to wonder caught in chapter 3. We're overwhelmed by the wonder of who Jesus is. Look at the description of Jesus in verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Two titles, apostle and high priest, tied to our confession. The first thing we should notice is that first word, the apostle. And that is a definite article. Here we go with grammar, right? It's a definite article that is distributed to both titles. So we could say in English, the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Why is apostle and high priest so important? Well, he stands alone. He's unique from every other apostle. He is one of a kind. And high priest, he is one of a kind, different from all of them. What is an apostle? A sent one. What did chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 tell us? He is the express image of God, the very radiance of the glory of God, the very Son of God, the Word of God that God has given. Finally, he is God's final voice, God's final expression to us. He is the sent one. He is the Messiah. Jesus is the ultimate, complete apostle, sent one of the Father, the final comprehensive word of God. Jesus is exclusively sent. He alone is the Word. Others communicate the Word. So the word of the Lord came to me, the prophets of old said. Jesus simply is the Word. But Jesus alone is our high priest. Jesus alone, as we began to look at last week, represents us to the Father. Jesus alone offers a sacrifice that's sufficient to the Father to take away our sins. Jesus alone perfectly understands us as our high priest. And when you put those two titles together, the apostle, the sent one, and the high priest who represents us before the Father and has offered a sacrifice sufficient, look at what those titles do. He's sent by the Father so that we can go to the Father. He is sent by the Father to enable us to have a relationship with the Father, which he already has. And so he is the sole apostle, the sole and final high priest that we have of our confession. Of our confession is a simple phrase that means when we are overwhelmed with the wonder of who Jesus is, we're going to confess him. We're going to talk about him. We're going to share with people. We're going to tell people what Jesus has done for us. Not because we have to. Not because Jesus' great commission, when he stood with the disciples in Galilee on that mountain and said, I am telling you to go and make disciples. Not because we have to obey. We're going to do it because we are overwhelmed with who he is. I love to introduce my wife to people. She's not here, so I can say this right now. No. I love to introduce my wife to people because I don't deserve her. I love her. I love to introduce her to people. That's how we look at Jesus to many more degrees. When we are overwhelmed, not only with the facts about him, not only with the information about him, but we are filled with wonder about him, we will always be confessing him. We will always be talking about him to people. We will always be sharing him with people. Last week, I came into my house so excited because one of my neighbors that I have been befriending for the last 2 years, he finally asked me a question that I was able to turn, and I was able to tell him all about Jesus. It is the most joyful thing that you can ever do. He is our confession. He's our high priest. He is our only apostle sent from God, the final expression of God. But he is the high priest and the author and the apostle of our confession. We will always be talking about him because we're filled with the wonder of who he is. And then he continues in verse 2 to say, who was faithful to him who appointed him. Now he goes on to say, just as Moses was. We're going to look at that next week. But Jesus was faithful. Consider his faithfulness to the one who appointed him, his faithfulness to his Father. He completed everything his Father had called him to do. He was able to pray in John 17, I have finished the work you've given me to do. We too have a heavenly calling. Jesus has given us a heavenly calling now, we're told, and we're going together, and we need to be faithful as he has modeled faithfulness to us. We now need to imitate his faithfulness, doing everything God has called us to do. That's our confession. We're going to tell people. We're not ashamed. We're not afraid. In a world that is lost, in a world that is hopeless, in a world that is dark, brothers and sisters, you and I have hope. And when we're filled with the wonder of who Jesus is, we can't keep it in. It's no longer an obligation. It's an absolute privilege. We just can't wait to share. Consider Jesus. Look carefully and wonder at Jesus. Chapters 1 and 2, therefore, all of this truth about Jesus, now just take it in. How do we do that? Well, Jesus has saved you. He saved me. He is worth living for. He is the one who purifies our soul. He is the one who has set us apart for God. Living for ourselves is too small. We need to live for Jesus. He is our high priest. He's our creator. He's our ruler. He's the supreme Son of God. He's the glorious radiance of God. We can look at nature, and in nature we see Jesus, who created it all. Chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. We see Jesus who sustains it all. When we look at nature, we see Jesus because nature reflects Jesus. It isn't Jesus, it's a reflection of him because he created it all. When we contemplate the joy that Jesus gives, when our sins are forgiven and we can stand before God totally righteous in Jesus' righteousness, we get overwhelmed with the wonder of Jesus and the joy of Jesus, and we just bask in it. Consider Jesus. He describes himself as gentle and lowly, and yet he's supreme. He's the ruler of all, seated upon his throne, chapter 2, and he's the final judge. So we find ourselves bowing in worship. We find ourselves living in worship. When we move from information about Jesus to being overwhelmed with the wonder of who Jesus is and embracing and enjoying Jesus, everything changes. Many of us have heard the story of Polycarp, who was the first bishop of Smyrna. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John, so second generation from Jesus. Polycarp, when he was elderly, faced increased persecution across the Roman world, and finally the authorities were seeking him out. The Christians put him in a secluded place, but the authorities found him. When they found Polycarp in this secluded home, They were arresting him, taking him to the authorities, and he asked the soldiers who came to arrest him, "Could you just give me a little bit of time to pray?" They said yes. And Polycarp's disciples relate the story this way. He stood. He said, "I would like, with your permission, to have 1 hour to talk to Jesus." He prayed for 2 hours, standing, aged 86. And as he prayed out loud, the soldiers who came to arrest him began to question why on earth they had been sent to arrest a man like this. Taken to the authorities, he was ordered to deny Jesus, or he would be killed. And many of us have heard what he said. He said, 86 years I've served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king and my savior? So they bound him to the stake, prepared the fire, and the fire started to lick his body. And his disciples recorded his words of his prayer. These are the final words. This was a man who enjoyed Jesus, a man who has soaked up Jesus. And so as he is burning to death, he says this, "I praise you for all these things. I bless you and glorify you, along with the everlasting Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. To you, with him, through the Holy Ghost, be glory both now and forever. Amen." How is he praising God? How is he praising Jesus as the fire takes his life away? Because he enjoys Jesus. Therefore, consider Jesus. He's worth it. He's worth it all. Look carefully at the wonder, at the majesty, the approachability, and the perfections of Jesus. That's what chapter 3 tells us to do. Hebrews is going to go into so much detail about the supremacy of Jesus, all of it founded on the first two chapters. But as we move into that, the Holy Spirit says, just consider him. Just soak him in. He's beyond our finding out, and yet he wants us to know him. So we move from examining to embracing Jesus. We move from facts examined to faith embraced. We move from the person of Jesus studied to the person of Jesus enjoyed. How do we do that? It takes time. It takes time sitting in his presence. It takes time maybe walking in his creation and finding a place where you're all alone and you can actually talk to him out loud. It takes time finding a spot in your home, if you're in a home with other people, where you are awake when nobody else is, and you can just talk to the Lord out loud. Or maybe a room in the house where even when the house is busy, you can talk to him. It means just basking in the wonder of who he is. A couple books that I have found in recent years to be helpful, and at different times I've recommended both of these to you, but God's Attributes. This one is by Hambrick. We have it in the media center there by the cafe. Amazing book. You can go through this little tiny booklet. It takes the attributes of God, the attributes of Jesus, who is God, and you can just bask in them, pray through them, wonder at who Jesus is. Another book that is a newer book, but really, really powerful, Gentle and Lowly, a study of the character of Jesus. I know our deacons have studied this. I think our deaconesses have studied this. The elders have read through this. This is a fascinating study of Jesus. Again, it's in our media center there by the cafe if you want to have a look at it. Books like these can help us. It's not the book that's important. It's Jesus that's important. But they help us begin to just bask in the wonder of who our Savior is. What the Holy Spirit wants us to do is move from information to embracing the person of who Jesus is. I can't encourage you enough, because the Holy Spirit has already exhorted us. Please, because of everything we've learned, consider him. Meditate on him. Tell him how much he means to you. Think about how important it is that he is the apostle, the final sent one of God, and the final, exclusive high priest who represents you before the Father. And because he does, you have complete access to the eternal holy God. Embrace Jesus. Now, if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you for your sins, you can't even get close to that. It all begins with coming to him and asking him to forgive you. We always have men and women down here in the front. If you would like to pray with somebody, maybe to ask them more questions, maybe just because you've had a burden this week and you'd like to pray, maybe just because you're overwhelmed with who Jesus is and you would like to pray with somebody about the wonder of Jesus, we always have people at the front. You're always welcome to come. But let me just close our time in prayer. Lord Jesus, we are overwhelmed by you, the wonder of who you are, perfect beyond our imagination, the very radiance of the glory of God, the very image of God, without tarnish, perfect in every way. You are the creator of all things, the upholder of all things, the sustainer of all things. You are the final expression of the word of God, because you are God himself. You are seated on the throne. Every angel, every heavenly being obeys you at a moment's notice, and yet you became lower than them for a short period of time. You became like us, but without sin. So you know us. You offer to save us from our sins. You can help us. So help us just to pause this morning and all week long to move from studying you and examining you to just embracing you. Help us to bask and to soak in the wonder of who you are. This is our prayer, because you are our Savior, and we pray in your name.